In this episode, I sit down with wrestling content creator Joseph Montecilio, and we talk all things AEW and the current identity crisis that the brand is going through. And of course, we give our immediate reactions to CM Punk returning to WWE. Stay tuned. This is the WrestleManiac UK show. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again with another podcast for you. I hope everyone's doing well. It has been one hell of a weekend. One hell of a weekend, let me tell you about it. You know, I didn't want to stay up for Survivor Series. I didn't want to stay up for Survivor Series, but my good mate Anafi kept saying, we got to watch this, we got to do a watch along. So I complied. I said, cool, let's do it. He felt something coming that I just didn't think was going to happen. And that was CM Punk returning. Could not believe it. Like, if you've browsed around my socials, wrestling socials, you will see our reactions. We had obviously, you know, took it from the watch along, our live reactions to CM Punk returning to the WWE almost 10 years after leaving. Incredible scenes, man. Incredible scenes. Never thought I'd see anything like it. And, you know, the podcast that I'm bringing to you guys today was already planned to speak to my special guest. Like I said, Joseph Montecilio. You know, I love this guy's content creation and the stuff he does in terms of producing absolutely great video essays. That's the only thing I can call them, and I guess that's what they're widely known as, to be fair. Video essays on wrestling, on different facets of wrestling. He is one of the best, in my opinion, and it was great to get him on the podcast. We were going to talk about AEW, and, you know, because he had previously mentioned that I'd seen online how he's just not so much into AEW anymore. And, you know, I think I make reference to in the discussion, you know, that's such a sad thing. I hate it when people say that, because I think AEW is still great, but obviously from where it was, I hear it. I completely hear it. We had planned to talk all things AEW, like I say, but you cannot avoid the Punk news. How can you? So, yeah, it was a phenomenal discussion anyway. You guys are really going to enjoy this. Like I say, a great creator and definitely someone you guys should look out for. Check his YouTube and just see his work, man. Really great stuff. But yeah, before we get into the guest and get into, you know, the actual podcast I'm bringing you to you today, please, you guys know, do the usual stuff for me. If you are new, make sure you have subscribed or follow on your podcast platform of choice. Leave a 5-star review. I would really appreciate it. Does a lot. And of course, you can head over to the YouTube channel as well, WrestleManiac UK, and subscribe. But that's enough of that. Let's go over to my discussion with Joseph Montecilio on all things CM Punk's return and AEW's identity crisis. Hope you enjoy it. Right, so joining me at this time is one of my YouTube inspirational creators. Honestly, I told him when he joined the call, like, one of the greatest on YouTube for this space that we operate in, wrestling creator, the analysis of it all, just absolutely breaking it down with tremendous video essays. We've got Joseph Montecilio in the house. Joseph, hey, how you doing, bro?
Doing good, actually. Man, what a day.
Bro.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into it. But thank you for having me on here. I'm really excited to talk about all this.
Yeah, man. I mean, just for context, just so the people know, you know, we planned to shoot this on the 26th of November. Mm-hmm. Just because of other stuff happening, I wanted to shoot on the 25th. Joseph had prior engagements on the 25th, so we couldn't do the 25th. So we said, we'll stick with the 26th, which is the Sunday. And my God, what a good decision that was.
Yeah.
Because a certain Chicago hero decided, yes, to return to the WWE after nearly 10 years away. CM Punk is back. What was your initial reactions when you saw that?
So I was out during Survivor Series. I was out with my girlfriend, actually. So I think I saw the news like about an hour or so after it dropped. I was talking to a friend who's a wrestling fan, and he basically said, "So things have happened, huh?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" I have only watched until like Claudio Garcia on Collision. And he was like, "Oh, so you haven't seen Survivor Series?" And as soon as he said that, I was like, "Are you telling me CM Punk is back?" That can be the only thing you would be trying to hide from me in a subtle way.
Yeah.
Is that CM Punk is back. And there he is, man. He did the thing.
Honestly.
It's wild.
Honestly, like, I was doing a watch along on our wrestling's channel. That's our other main wrestling channel that we have. And, you know, the War Games match was won. The little sticker copyright thing in the corner came up. We thought, you know, everything's a wrap. Cody's music is still playing because he got the pin. And then you hear Cult of Personality and all of our faces, our reaction is like, oh my God, they actually did it. Like,
the pop was massive. Like,
crazy.
I don't think I've actually heard like an organic pop like that in the WWE since like Sammy hit Roman with the chair in January. Yeah.
Insane. It's crazy, man. It's really, you know, for wrestling fans, maybe even so much so for WWE fans that kind of stick to WWE and didn't watch him over in AEW, obviously knew he returned to wrestling, but didn't watch him over in AEW. To see him back, literally, as we say, maybe about 2 months short of 10 years later, for them, it must be absolutely incredible. For those of us that kind of stay tapped in and watch a bit of everything, and I've seen him, obviously, as of recently, as of August in AEW, it's like, well, yeah, well, will WWE give him another chance? This, you know, we have to say at this point, this is his last major chance at a major company, like, surely.
I mean, we all thought that also in 2014. So I guess it's never say never, especially when it comes to CM Punk. It's just, it's crazy how much the industry has changed since he first left the WWE. It's honestly, it just shows how it feels slow, but it's actually so fast the way that just the entire industry has changed and created this like atmosphere where he could not only come back, but also come back to the WWE. Insane, wild.
Yeah, obviously, you know, with what you've just alluded to, there's been a new company that's in the fold. They're real main competitors, and we're going to come on to talk about AEW as well. WWE have had key changes at the top of their business, which has probably more so than anything allowed this move for CM Punk to come back. I'm not so sure what it would have looked like if Vince was still the guy at the top of the tree in WWE.
Sure.
But even with CM Punk and Triple H clearly having their differences in the past, Triple H is about his business. There's a feel-good factor with Triple H in charge. And to be honest, that's the only thing I'm scared of. I don't know how much you've seen, you know, there's some reactions from Seth Rollins and allegedly other wrestlers about his return. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people are saying it's a work, you know, they're just working and stuff like that. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on the dressing room? A younger dressing room, a dressing room that the majority of them probably would have never even worked with CM Punk. They've just heard all the stories, all the rumors. What kind of impact do you think this will put on this dressing room, the WWE dressing room?
I genuinely have no clue, you know. It's so difficult to process because I barely even understand how the AEW locker room sort of took to him, you know. He was so divisive even within that locker room, you know. You had people, obviously, who just hated, were miserable working with him. You had a bunch of young guys who, you know, really looked up to him. He was, like, foundational to influencing a whole generation of fans and wrestlers. And so there are workers in the back who are probably really interested to work with CM Punk, maybe like learn a thing or two, or even I can't imagine not looking at CM Punk getting that reaction in Chicago and everything and not thinking like, surely you just want a piece of that money, right? Like, even the people who have like the most ingrained reasons to be cautious or shall we say negative towards punk, right? You hear that crowd and I don't know, man. I'd want to be part of the money. Like, surely that's something to look forward to. But I really have no clue. Maybe he really is just that hard to work with. So,
yeah, I would like to think. I mean, Triple H in his press conference said, you know, when everything happened between Punk and the company and himself, you know, this was 10 years ago. And if we all haven't kind of grown after 10 years, then there's a problem, sort of thing, which is very true. We've seen CM Punk in the last 6 months kind of make mistakes again, allegedly. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if everyone's grown, sort of thing, but it's just gonna be super, super interesting to see how this goes. Me, like when I watch WWE, I'm here for the moments. Here for the moments and the big reactions, and then whatever happens later, we can figure it out later, because that's WWE. When I watch AEW, when I watch New Japan, I want that more sense approach to things. I just don't want moments that don't lead to anything, because I've got that from WWE. Give me things that make sense and stories within these other companies. So right now, as hype as I was that, wow, CM Punk is actually back, I have no idea what they're going to do with him. Like, I don't know what the
next is. I'm with you. I have no idea what's next. I can only assume, like, he's too big not to work with Rollins, surely. Like, yes, if that's the top belt, that's just going to happen, no matter what. But yeah, I the past year of watching CM Punk in AEW has just kind of taught me that if I just primarily focus on what's on the TV, I'm just gonna have a good time. Like if I don't get too caught up in all the backstage stuff, that's entertaining in its own way.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Twitter just melts down, just absolute chaos every single time he does anything. He breathes in someone's direction and there's like just a million different reactions. But yeah, I'm just sort of here for the ride. I'm very punk-pilled. I'm honest about that. I'm a massive fan of his work. I think he's one of the best ever, best going, and I'm gonna be tuned in to see what he does. He's just that kind of like sort of once in a generation presence.
Yeah,
that really just draws you in. Like it's so compelling, constantly.
Yeah, I think obviously I watched a lot of Punk's run in Ring of Honor, missed some of the stuff in WWE, but kind of got the gist for when I watched back and things like that. And to see him in AEW, like you say, politics aside, just in the ring doing what he's done as a professional wrestler, telling stories is his forte. He is fantastic at that. The matches were, you know, a bit below par, I guess, in the AEW, but age and time away from the game, you could understand that. So yeah, with WWE's kind of blended approach now of the sports entertainment, but still very storyteller driven, like you can see what Triple H is doing, this should be a nice kind of place for him to slide into. You know, we came here today to talk about AEW's identity, and we're going to shift gears into that in a second. But I think WWE's identity right now is very strong, and you know, it's almost like tit for tat. Like WWE earlier this year picked up Jade, AEW picked up Adam Copeland, AEW confirmed Will Ospreay a matter of weeks ago, WWE have replied with CM Punk. Like, this is a really good time. This is a really good time in wrestling. And I think fans are, you know, getting the real, reaping the benefits from all of it.
I think it's an interesting time. I don't know. For me, I'm a little more cynical about the product, I guess. Like, I'm very particular about the things I like in wrestling. So I'm sort of detached from both the main companies and their TV products at the moment. But it's things like this, like Punk signing, where I'm like, oh, that'll pique my interest. It's sort of, I can't help but be interested, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, yeah, let's talk about, obviously, his previous employers. We're saying that WWE right now, they're in their stride. They've got a really good identity. I think the opposite has happened in recent times for AEW. I mean, firstly, before we kind of get into it, is that your opinion as well? Like, the masses are saying AEW don't really know where they're going. They don't know their left from their right. They're losing a bit of their identity of what they came to the dance to deliver to fans. Like, it's just going a bit here, there, and everywhere right now. What's your general opinion on that?
I think I have certainly noticed a shift in the kind of ways that they tell stories and structure their shows, especially Dynamite. And it's not been a shift I've necessarily been a fan of. And I think a large part of that also is the talent that they're sort of putting their trust in. They're working with a new set of guys. They're trying to push a certain crop of young guys who, I don't know, they may not always share the kind of vision that I want out of pro wrestling. And I just want to be real clear about that, that when I'm talking about like my opinions on AEW and stuff, it's specifically from like my framework of what I want out of wrestling. So there are going to be people who enjoy what's there, but I think it is fair to say that there has been a tonal shift in the last few months or so.
I like the fact you mentioned it's kind of down to the roster, the guys involved as well, not just, you know, at TK's level sort of thing. I think it's hard because TK came in with, you know, the whole thing of the alternative. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not trying to be WWE, we are the alternative. And I think they thrived with that. And it could have been a bit of, you know, this is the new kid on the block, this is like the honeymoon period, and we're all just loving something different altogether. And now they've settled, it's like, a bit samey, or kind of getting towards that. As well as you, like I say, you mentioned the roster itself. I think fans sometimes forget more so the current AEW roster, or the just the younger generation right now, they grew up on WWE.
For sure, yeah.
Their aspirations before AEW was even thought of was probably WWE, WrestleMania main events and things of that nature. So, yeah, I think it's really hard to try and now, you know, give them creative freedom, but then steer them away from, I guess, what they've always known as a fan.
Right. It's hard because the framework of what we understand to be pro wrestling has for so long been just controlled by the WWE, especially if you became a fan after like 2001, right? This is the company. It's the most accessible pro wrestling company in the world. And you have to go out of your way to find other visions of pro wrestling that you may enjoy, but you do have to go out of your way for it. So it's only natural that it's kind of left its mark on not only the roster members, certainly several of the people in the back who work in AEW would have grown up watching WWE. And I think, I don't know, there is something amiss. I feel like they are moving towards that, and it's kind of rubbing fans like me the wrong way, I guess. But that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, I think there are certain points that I feel you can kind of pinpoint where a change started happening, rightly or wrongly, just a change in general. I think 2021, we saw a large influx of people from WWE into AEW, the Andrades, the Malakai Blacks, Adam Cole, Danielson. Like, not to say that those guys came with their sports entertainment hat on and just like, guys, let's see what we were doing over there. But it's just like, we're getting people that had literally been seen over there, and it's like, maybe just in terms of booking them, you want to book them in a similar light. I think you then started seeing producers who probably affect it a bit more come from WWE over to AEW, and of course they will have a way of seeing the product and things like that. And then there's just the overall thing of, like you mentioned, the roster already and what they've grown up on, what their ideology is, and then the ever-growing TK wearing all the hats in the world, wanting to book everything himself. Do you think that's an issue, that we don't maybe have a wider scope on things? It's just one man and his vision sort of things at times.
I don't know. It's really hard to say. I don't have that kind of insight into how AEW's locker room works. But just from the outside looking in, you know, the addition of Collision felt like so unnecessary. You know, even as a Punk fan, like just having another 2 hours on TV feels like you're just kind of stretching yourself thin there. And I feel like creating Collision sort of it sort of encouraged this idea that it had to be distinct from Dynamite. And so Dynamite started leaning into things that you maybe wouldn't see on Collision. You got more of the skits, perhaps a little more of the comedy on Dynamite. And Collision was maybe treated like semi more seriously, or however it is you want to phrase it. And I think that sort of need to distinguish them has led to this kind of identity crisis, if you want to call it. And not to mention that, you know, for the first few weeks, like Punk's influence on Collision was such that, you know, they were walking on eggshells constantly, you know, trying to avoid conflict and all that. It's just a lot of factors coming together, really sort of just muddying the ideas that are going on in AEW. Like, I get the sense that it's not even like one man being stretched too thin. It almost feels like a too many cooks situation. I don't know. It's tough to call.
I'm happy you've mentioned Collision. I was going to go towards the growth of this company, and we're 4 years in with AEW, and their growth has been tremendous. Like,
yes,
they the rate it probably contributes to all of these changes and things not kind of being, you know, going through at a steady pace sort of thing. I can't help but think it's, you know, the network that they're under might be pushing them for more. You know, they're the ones throwing them an hour of what's that show they usually do? Battle of the Belts. Like, that is nonsense. Like, that is the worst show on TV, honestly. Like, I'd rather them just give them another hour of Rampage or something. But
sure, yeah, I get that.
They give them Battle of the Belts every now and again. Obviously, we've got Rampage, which came, what was that, 2021? Summer 2021?
Yes, Rampage came in. That would have been it.
Collision, another two-hour show that came earlier this year. We've heard about the pay-per-views that are going to happen every month now. Do you think a lot of these changes, the loss in identity and things like that, is maybe down to the network maybe pushing too much on what the vision of just the alternative was going to be, and them thinking, well, you know, those guys over in Connecticut, they run all of these shows and programming, why can't you do it? Let's give you the hours and you put it, but maybe it's actually going towards AEW's detriment.
I think it's possible. Like, if they're the ones putting that on the table, then it's then it is an issue. But I, you know, it comes down to the people running this company, though. You know, they don't have to accept those extra hours, I'm guessing, right?
Like, but maybe there's extra money. Are you gonna turn your money?
No, yeah, and that's the problem, right? Like, at the core of it is that the need for capital is always gonna supersede whatever creative or artistic visions there are, especially in a business like pro wrestling. You know, people's eyes, you know, they widen when you see those zeros and a dollar sign. And who wouldn't say no to all this additional money? We just have to put another 2 hours on every week. We have a massive roster who can probably fill that time, you know. And you know, it's the reality of any company in the industry, is that if you're chasing the bottom line, it's not always gonna gel with what people want to see on TV. And you know, the best companies find a way to balance that. In the best times, there's a way to make that work and still make money hand over fist. But I just feel like the industry's changed to where good creative is not the key to making money, right? Like, we were back in the day, at least traditionally, the idea was that if you're booking good stuff that people want to see, they're going to come through the door and pay you money. Now you get a deal with a network. You know, it doesn't really matter what you book. you sign the paper, boom, yeah. There's the money. It's in your account. You have 3 years on this network, whatever. Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter what stories you're telling, who's on the TV. That you cash the check already. it's a lot. Those are like larger factors at work that could be tampering with the state of creative right now.
Yeah, I think growth is definitely one of those things where I don't think that, like we mentioned, a collision, a second show was ever really on the cards. I can't imagine it's something they wanted to do, especially this early into them running AEW Dynamite, but it's fallen in their laps. The network is probably pushing for it. And, you know, we mentioned CM Punk at the top of the show. We'll just touch on him again. What was your general thoughts when, you know, all the rumors came out that he was returning and ultimately he was being given the pen to book Collision? He was given his own show, sort of thing. Just from like a management point of view, and obviously everything that happened with Brawl Out, and obviously now we've got another 2 hours of programming we need to fill. What was your thoughts when that all was taking place?
My thoughts were basically, they don't need these 2 hours. Like, I think I was very set in that. Even at the time, when I heard that, oh, well, it's a 2 hours for Punk, I was like, then I'll watch it for Punk. You know, that's it. I didn't think they need the 2 hours, but if that's the show CM Punk's going to be on, that's the 2 hours I'm watching every week. I think I mentioned at the top of the show that I've sort of been able to mostly separate like the backstage stuff, all the rumors and the drama, all those things. I've been able to separate that from like my enjoyment of the show, generally speaking. So when CM Punk came back and he was on Collision, I was like, hell yeah, here we go. Let's watch CM Punk every week. In my estimation, those first few weeks of Collision were great. I loved those first 4 or 5 weeks or so of Collision with just these great main events at the top of every single show, and it was very straightforward. It was all, maybe at its worst, it was dry, but it was never like silly. I was never like, what is this crap? You know,
yeah, it wasn't cringy.
Absolutely. It was like perfectly average to great wrestling every week. And that's a hard thing for me to say about AEW these days, which is strange because they used, at their best, they were knocking it out of the park, man. Yeah, man. Like that late 2021 period everyone talks about where, oh man, I used to call it the Dynamite Power Hour, where the first hour just had all the finest stuff. Yeah. You'd get a Bryan match opening and then Punk would come out after to do a promo. Yes. Like, I didn't even care if the second hour was bad. I was just like, give me that first hour. It hit like crack, man. You know? So I just want TV that I want to watch. And recently that's been sort of rare to come by on AEW. And I'll say it out right now, like, one of my biggest problems with the product right now is I don't particularly care for MJF as the world champion. You know, I've always been hit or miss with MJF. Okay. The back-to-back feuds of Punk and Wardlow are my favorite stretch of his career by far. It's genuinely great work from the guy. Like, I give him a lot of crap, I really do, but when he was hitting, boy was he hitting. Like that Wardlow match, that whole feud, even like I'm one of the few people who's like, I think the Wardlow feud is actually better than the Punk feud, just for its simplicity. I feel like they really got to the core of who MJF was and could be, in my view at least, in that feud. And yeah, him being at the top of the company is really difficult for me, because by very nature of him being the world champion, he does take up so much time on TV, and it is dedicated to the kind of stories that he is telling, he wants to tell, and more often than not, those are not stories I care for. So that's certainly a factor. It might not be the defining factor, but it's been a tough go for me in this particular title reign.
You went there, so let's talk about it. What's your thoughts on, I guess, the Adam Cole side of this title reign, this story, and obviously, you know, what we saw in Full Gear. I have never seen the uproar from AEW fans or fanatics. Like,
yeah,
I watch WWE and AEW equally. I critique them equally. None of them are my father's companies. Like, I will call them both out because I want better.
For sure.
AEW fans, I feel, have kind of always protected and held it close to their heart because a lot of them are annoyed WWE fans. And after Full Gear weekend, I have never seen the kind of uproar and annoyance and just the voicing of the opinions of their own product, of the product that they love so much. And I said, finally, like, because we need to talk about these things, not just, you know, oh, don't worry, the match will bang, or we'll get away with it because the match next week will be brilliant, or whatever the case is. Like, what do you think of this current storyline of MJF? And I guess it's those words again, sports entertainment, where it's being, you know, led to.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to hit on something you mentioned, which is that for most of its run, AEW has been incredibly skilled at just pulling everyone back right before they're about to go over the deep end. You know, yeah. I have been more mixed on some AEW pay-per-views than other people, you know, just because there's just parts of the show I don't like. Even when AEW's at its best, there's just parts of the show I don't really care for. And if that's given a big spotlight on a pay-per-view, I'm not going to like it, you know.
Yeah.
But AEW was always so good about having that one great thing that everyone agreed on every single pay-per-view. Mm. And it always got just a little bit more... As I felt that their product was declining, it got a little more touch and go. Like, I want to bring up, for example, the Double or Nothing pay-per-view earlier this year, which, in my opinion, was just a bottom-tier pay-per-view from AEW. I did not like most of those matches on that
I have
card.
Never heard the term bottom-tier before.
No, like, honestly, like, fully one of the worst pay-per-views they've ever run. But then you have Blackpool Combat Club and Elite doing some crazy stuff in the main event, and it's like, yeah, oh, there it is. That's the one thing we can all just kind of cling on, yeah, you know? There are people who love the four-way. I didn't care for it. But when it came to that main event, people were just like, hey, that's pretty good. We ended the show pretty good. Let's get out of here, right? All Out this year in Chicago, everyone thought that was a great show. People say it's one of their best shows ever. I tend to agree. Wrestle Dream, boom. You have Zach versus Brian. Everyone's just like, yes, technical wrestling, beautiful. And then you get to Full Gear, and that's the first time I ever saw them really, really leave a bad taste in people's mouths. Mm. I think the only thing I could compare it to was the barbed wire match.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah, with yeah, Mox and Omega. But even then, right, people had these, like, there were things you could say about it. Like, well, it was a technical problem. Yeah. You know, it wasn't supposed to look like this. It's in front of like a COVID crowd. This isn't the best that we can do, right?
Yeah. But people have grace because the wrestlers delivered, but
for sure,
literally a technical issue, you know, made it a rubbish ending. So it wasn't really their fault. But yeah, people had grace for that.
And there were things they could have done to prevent that. Like, it could have been avoidable, but there are reasonable things to say, like, well, you know, whatever, they blew one. But this one was really strange because it was so deliberate. Like, yeah, there was no excusing it as like an accident kind of thing, because it went through the whole show, you know, like they set it up on 0 hour, and then they did the million different Adam Cole's wrestling. No, he's not wrestling. Are we vacating the belt? It was so obviously, this is the plan. This is what we wanted to happen, and we pulled it off. And I think that's why people are so upset, because they didn't like the plan. You know, this wasn't a problem of bad execution. This was them nailing what they wanted to do and people not liking that at all. And, you know, for me, I'm just like, yes, welcome, my friends, to not liking MJF title matches. I've been here, and now you are all joining me.
You're opening the door for them.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, we've not seen eye to eye on things before, but this time it looks like we're all in the clear about this particular one, or most people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what was upsetting about it. I think it's also upsetting to people that it played a lot of the games that WWE has done at their worst. You know, people don't care for those kind of like bait and switch stories that WWE always do. You know, like on an episode of Raw, there's some big title match announced. That's not the match you're gonna get. You know, people are tired of that. And I think that's really what triggered it. That uproar from fans this time was just the visual and story connections that they could bridge to memories from WWE. Like they bridged it to bad memories they already had, you know, like MJF coming in on an ambulance. That's such a WWE style trope. Such,
yeah.
Right. yeah. So just all of that. And that match itself, people have pointed out, is like an example of the kind of identity crisis they're dealing with, right? Like there are ways they could have pulled that particular, like if we leave out like all the Adam Cole stuff, there are ways to do. MJF has a bad leg and he has to overcome this challenge, and I don't think the way to do that was in a 30-minute title match. Yeah. But that's sort of that identity crisis where, like, yes, we want to do this sports entertainment style angle, and I'll even be generous and say, like, you know, if we want to be especially nice to it, we can say, okay, it's not even sports entertainment. This is an old school pro wrestling angle. WCW have done similar things. Yeah. Back in the day, people get hurt. That's a part of pro wrestling storytelling. Let's say we want to do that. But we also have to deliver these kind of long, action-packed main events that this AEW crowd have become used to. And those things clashed in this way that made for a main event that a lot of people really didn't like. So it feels like this struggle to please everybody, and you end up pleasing nobody in the process.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, who are they trying to entertain with this stuff? Mm-hmm. They know who their diehard crowd is. You know, the I remember once upon a time, the argument was they're throwing someone new on TV, no vignette. How do the crowd know who this person is? But they have a diehard audience that they know love professional wrestling and know that they know who that person is. So we don't need to really introduce him too much. Now it's like, yeah, what kind of crowd are you trying to attract? And, you know, earlier on, we mentioned that the wrestlers themselves would obviously be brought up on WWE style, and maybe that's what they want to bring in, you know, but especially MJF, we can see that very much. So do you think, and no, it's been said that, you know, a lot of wrestlers have free reign. They write their own scripts, this, that, and the other, and they might just have to run it past the office. Do you think it's time Tony reigns in on that? Like he's losing potentially the identity of his product because he's giving too many people free reign, and it's maybe taking things in directions which is less the pro wrestling stuff which we all came here for. Do you think Tony needs to kind of rein it in with some of these guys?
I think the struggle for Tony is figuring out who to rein in, you know, because I definitely, even at AEW's best, I think that is a problem, that he does let people sort of experiment and indulge, and that's good for some, especially if it leads to a success. They discover something about themselves, but it's tough for others, you know, like I've gone on about MJF. I feel like a little more control on that particular set of stories, probably for the better, you know. And like even with talents that seem promising, right? Like I hear a lot of praise for Swerve Strickland, and yeah. I loved the Texas Death Match. Mm. Wonderful match, really loved it. But there are like small small aspects of his act where I always think like, okay, if we just tighten the screws just a little bit, we'll get to the next level, you know, like I the kidnapping stuff and the home invasion stuff, I'm not too hot on that kind of stuff, you know. So it's really that I just wish there was just a little more oversight, and I don't know how to do that because it feels like it should already be happening given the brains that are in that company. There are so many people who I know get it. They really do. You know, just on screen, we have Danielson, Moxley, Eddie Kingston. These are guys who just fully get like what wrestling is, using old school traditions applied to like a modern sensibility, you know. In the back, they have Chris Hero working there every single week. Like, that guy has watched every hour of wrestling that's been put to tape.
He's been around,
for sure. And, you know, I don't know who's being listened to in this company. I don't know whose voices are the loudest. And that seems like it's a problem. I guess it's also a problem of what audience do they want. I feel like the mistake a lot of companies make is that they want the WWE's audience, you know, not only to like steal them away from the WWE, but just like to foster that sort of like critical mass. And I don't think it's going to happen by being like the WWE, you know. You have to set yourself apart. But yeah, it's tough because the WWE were pro wrestling for the longest time in many people's minds. So there you go. It's hard. It really is. And I empathize with the people who are trying to put on a great show. And it's just not always coming together, you know?
Yeah. I just wonder, like, obviously this current period where MJF has been champion, it's been riddled with other, I guess, less than great stats. Things like, you know, the tickets at events are lower than ever, and TV viewership is lower than ever, and things like that. And to be honest, I was given MJF a lot of grace beforehand, saying, well, this isn't MJF's fault, because I personally think MJF has been great, sort of thing. However, I look at it back in like the old days, the olden days of wrestling, and guy was the draw. Like, people are going from town to town and arena to arena to see this guy in the main event. And maybe we just need to be, I need to be real with myself, and we just need to be real with ourselves, that as much of a talent, generational talent that MJF is, if we look at it in terms of, like I say, the old school way, maybe he's just not that guy yet, or right now. Like, you know, if he's not putting bums on seats, as they say, then do we need a new world champion?
Yes.
Well, I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm very honest about this. I'm pulling for Joe at World's End.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, like, come on, just put the belt on Joe. But you know, that's the nerd in me. I can accept that. You know, it's tough. It's tough. You asked me earlier, what do I think about the Brochacho storyline with Adam Cole, right? And I don't like it. I don't. I really don't. From day one, I'm sorry to say, I know a lot of people did enjoy a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. You know, it can be funny. There is a certain charm to a bad person trying to be better. I understand those appeals 100%. I didn't like it because I don't care for Adam Cole. And so, you know, just putting him with a champion who I'd already had issues with, I'm like, okay, these are just like two flavors I don't really like. And now they're together. It's like, and it was a big part of me not following AEW as closely as I used to. You know, I used to be a regular Dynamite viewer, like up in the morning, Philippine time, watching Dynamite. And, now I have to look at the card and be like, is there anything here I really care to catch?
It breaks my heart when I hear people say this stuff, you know, because it's like your enjoyment has literally been taken from underneath your feet, sort of thing.
Right.
It hurts. I honestly feel away when I hear people say this.
And it was appointment viewing for me, you know. At a certain time, it really was appointment viewing. Week to week, you had to see what was going to be on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, well, you know, John Moxley's wrestling this week. I'll watch Mox's match. You know, OC has an international title defense. I'll watch the international title defense. But yeah, I've not really cared to watch full shows in a few months or so. And again, for me, it's always been about what's on the screen. So if I'm not with the talent, I'm really just not with the show. And I have all my nerdy fixes that for me would just instantly make the show better, you know. And I have no idea whether that's good business or not, you know. If I had the pen, it's like Bryan Danielson's world champion tomorrow. That's it. Yeah, he's the world champion tomorrow. He's defending it every week until his body turns into dust. I don't care. That's my solution to fixing AEW's identity crisis. I'm not a businessman, you know. I'm not a booker. I'm a critic. I'm watching for the things I want, and I'm telling people about the things I do and don't enjoy, and it's been more not enjoy than the positive in recent months. Yeah, it's hard. It is difficult because I'm sure there are strings I'll never see. You know, you mentioned pressure from the networks. Who knows what other pressures are on Tony Khan. You know, he has to answer to his father. He has a sports team that he owns. Just a lot going on.
Yeah.
But so it's easy for me to sit here and be like, your show sucks, my dude. make it better. Make the show better, my guy. who knows the practical solutions? You know, I just have my wild fantasies to go by. But I think the key though is that we've seen them do it.
Yeah,
we know it's possible, right? Because we have those periods to look back on where the numbers were good, people liked the shows, so it can be done. You can't tell us like, no, it's a pipe dream you're all making up. We know you guys did it, and we're trying to get back to that.
Yeah, and I was saying this on a podcast during this week. I said I don't want to look at 2019, 2020, 2021, like that was the honeymoon period of AEW. Like they booked consistently very well to excellently every week over like a 2-year period during a global pandemic. Like that can't have just been honeymoon period. They right. know what they're doing, but we need to get back to that. Now, I'm not letting you get out of here before we go today by saying that Danielson as world champion is the answer. I would do that too. I know Danielson has no interest in being world champion, but I would 100% do it too. But
definitely, yeah.
If I'm to ask you one kind of final thing, like maybe on a more bigger scale, away from titles and things of that nature, how do we make AEW great again? What's the answer you would kind of say? At least the first step. What would you say would be the first step on that ladder to return it to those glory days that we mentioned?
I think from my perspective, the answer is to look at the matches. And that's because it's so tempting to not do that. Mm. It's very easy to ignore the matches when we're looking at numbers or merchandise, whatever, you know. But the matches reveal more than one might think, you know. If we look at the matches and who's performing the best in them, I think that's a major starting point. And I'll give you an example. A big part of this identity crisis is, as we talked about, what audience do you really want? So for me, it's like looking at you want to be focusing on the people who are capable of creating massive, huge reactions through their wrestling. Because that was always the differentiator with AEW, that we're the wrestling company.
Yeah.
And I think the closer we get to that, the more positive it'll be. And maybe, you know, maybe I will fully eat shit for my opinions too, because MJF gets great reactions. He does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gets massive reactions. And, you know, maybe that's just something I have to live with, is that his style of wrestling may not be for me, but he pops the crowds. And so he's going to get the time. Fair enough. But I think if you extend that sort of idea a little further and just keep looking at the people who are telling stories in the ring, that's your market. Because even now we see the people who are capable of doing it really, really doing it. Like Eddie is having a great, it's a very great low-key title reign. Does that make sense? Like, it's not entirely obvious. But when you really pay attention to the things he's doing, it's like this is a master craftsman at work every single week. And he gets those reactions. He draws people in. And yeah, that's the nerdiest possible way I could have answered it. But look at the matches and really just pay some mind to the people who understand the core of your craft, which has always been professional wrestling, which is, you know, when we zoom out, it's easy to forget that this is the thing we're doing. You know, it's what's between the ropes. You know, we can talk all the people we want into the seats and everything, but at the end of the day, the nuts and bolts of our craft happen between the ropes. And I think the more attention gets placed on that, the better moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic answer. And like you say, it's a great starting point, because every week at the end of Dynamite, you know, after Excalibur's finished running down next week's card, he always ends the show by saying AEW, the home of professional wrestling. And right now, it's just more like a thing that's being said than actually being practiced. So
I agree.
100%. You go back to that. Used to almost get like a pay-per-view level main event on Dynamite. Yeah. Like crazy stuff with guys that, you know, a lot of us have seen elsewhere, but now it's their chance to do it on TV in front of the nation. And it's, I think even now, obviously we've had recently the Continental Classic announced, and a lot of fans are getting excited with some of the matchups that are coming. And yeah, that looks great. But you know, again, we're returning to matches. Are we going to give them time? Are we going to, like, I saw the first day of the Dynamite, the three that on the show, and I'll say they were all good.
Yeah.
None that really blew me away. And especially when you're kind of competing with the G1 and the heritage of the G1, on the first night of Dynamite, you should have given us one of those matches, at least of the three, should have been absolutely incredible.
Like, sure.
You telling yourself, I need to watch every single match in this tournament. And I just felt like you haven't really created the excitement for this tournament, just in terms of what you've shown me.
Right.
So 100%, man, I agree. The professional wrestling within the ropes has to come first.
Yeah, I think that's really the way forward. And I'll just say that about any wrestling company personally. I'm just that kind of particular guy in terms of how I watch wrestling. And you mentioned the Continental Classic. Another thing that really should be looked at is just follow through. I really need AEW to just follow through when people say that they've done something great. Just go with it, man. Like, Swerve. Yeah. You know, I said here I had my doubts about Swerve, but after that death match, it's just like, go full speed, my guy. Just all the way in.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? Like, when you nail it, go for it, man. Yeah. Like, we saw earlier this year, the same thing happened to Hangman Page in a Texas death match, where it's like, oh, look, he nearly murdered John Moxley. Yeah. That's the coolest man on the planet. Go with it.
Yeah.
And then he went to do a tag feud where he was like the fourth most important person in the feud. You know, just go with it, man. Swerve should probably have been challenging MJF at World's End. You know, as much as I love Joe, it should have been Swerve after that performance. Follow through. And the same thing should be true for the Continental Classic. You know, this shouldn't just be a, all right, nerds, here's your matches for 6 weeks. Just be happy for 6 weeks. You know, go with it. Follow where it leads. whoever might win the tournament or whatever interesting stories you discover within the process of the tournament happening, go with it. It can't just be, all right, here you go for like 6 weeks. You guys have your way, you know, just follow it. Follow through.
TK is criminally guilty for having his plan and wanting to stick by it. And like you're saying, sometimes you have to read the room. I was saying that following the death match, if we're not going to make Swerve world champion, he needs to beat Orange Cassidy in the next two, three weeks for that international title, like to capitalize on it. So, yeah, I mean, we've mentioned a couple things and we can only hope, you know, we're nearly at the end of the year. Maybe we draw the line and we're going into this AEW in 2024, which is, again, loads of programming, more pay-per-views than ever, new talent set to join in someone like Will Ospreay. But yeah, there's a couple fundamental things we need to leave at the door, a couple fundamental things we need to return to. And hopefully we are on the road some way, somehow, to get our AEW back.
I would love to love AEW again, you know, because it feels good to have a company that where you're just like, this rocks and this is great. It's very accessible. It got people excited. And I want it so much to succeed and be as great as it has been and could still be. And that's all I want. That's why I talk crap and all that, is because I just want good wrestling, man. That's all I've ever wanted from this art.
I hear you, man. Joseph, you have been brilliant, man. Tell the people where they can find you and all the work you're doing.
You can find me on YouTube. That's youtube.com/@JosephMonticelioYT. I do a bunch of videos over there. Not a lot recently, but I think the ones that are there you might enjoy. I recently put up a new website. It's josephmonticelio.com. That has all my archived blog posts from 2020 till today, as well as my full back catalog from fanbyte.com. And a bunch of those like went down on the official website, so I made sure to preserve it on my own place. And I think that's about it. At Joseph Weirdness on Twitter, if you want to see me complain about wrestlers you like, there you go.
Guys, honestly, one of the greatest creators in this space, like, just for
you're detailed... too kind.
No, bro, take your flowers for detailed analysis on whether it's people's careers, breaking down matches. You need to head over if you like that kind of stuff, the granular stuff within this sport. You have to head over to Joseph's channel, Joseph Montesilio YT. Definitely worth it, Joseph. We need to do this again sometime, and I appreciate your time, bro.
I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for having me.
One more time, thank you to Joseph for joining me on the show. Really great chat, man. He's such good vibes, like great energy, and, you know, someone that you can clearly see the passion for the product, AEW that is, but he feels let down. And I feel like that's how a lot of fans feel right now. They feel let down. They feel like this company that was doing such amazing work, you know, in their inception, they've taken their foot off the gas. They've maybe got a bit complacent. And like I said, maybe it's not all of them, you know, in terms of their fault. Maybe it's a network behind TNT, whomsoever, that's driving this change in their product. But we need to get control of the wheel again, guys, man. The car is going all over the place. Let's control the steering wheel and take this place, take this car, take this product back to the promised land where it once was. They can do it. I know they can. And that's what is even more frustrating with what we get on TV, what we have been getting on TV over the last few months. Some would say the last year plus. So yeah, it was a great convo, man. It's a great convo. Like I say, you know, follow Joseph Montesilio YT on all his YouTube channel. I think that's his YouTube handle. And then Joseph Weirdness on Instagram, on X as well. Great content creator. But yeah, that is all we have got this week. Of course, you can stay tuned to the WrestleManiac UK show.
The podcasts are becoming thick and fast. I don't want to spoil who next week's guest is, but I'll just say it's someone that's been here before, and we're going to have a really good chat. And yeah, head over to the YouTube channel. We'll have the Black Wrestling Alliance show of Wrestle Extra as well coming out during the week for all your updates on everything in black wrestling. And for sure, there's probably going to be some other CM Punk related content over the week as well. But yeah, I'll leave you guys to it. Hit the review button if you haven't. Please leave a review. Share this with someone as well. That'll be nice. And of course, I'll be back next week. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.